Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is your girl Corinne LaFond. Having a beautiful day here in Jamaica, in the Caribbean. I mean, it can't get better than this. No, it does get better than this. Hey, that's for all the people who are in the snow, if you're still having snow. I just need to torture you just a little bit more about us living here in the Caribbean, in our shorts and everything, and we're just soaking up the sun. You need to be here, okay? All right, we have a wonderful guest today. His name is Nihar Sutar. Nice name. Kind of rhymes, have the same kind of ending, so it's pretty easy to remember. Nihar is pretty young. We need to find out what's going on with Nihar and all of this positive vibes he's sending out to us today, because he's doing things that normal young people, some of them don't normally do. So he's on a passionate course here. He's meant to be doing something. We need to find out what it is, what led him on this course, you know, why he feels he needs to carry on, you know, take the baton and carry on this particular journey, and what he's expecting out of it. So let me just tell you a little bit about Nihar. He's an award-winning writer covering inspirational stories around the world. Believe it or not, he stumbled upon writing completely by accident after moving to New York City for the very first time. While he's in the Big Apple, he noticed that there were thousands of people missing out on the greatness of everyday life. Isn't that amazing? As young as he is, due to the very fast-paced lifestyles they lived, they're missing out. I say this every day. As a result of his observations, he had a big idea to inspire people around the globe by writing a book, which was strange because he always hated reading books, I would think. Most boys don't like to read. Why would he ever write one? He thought to himself. With the support of his family and friends, he ended up debuting his first international book, Win No Matter What. I love that title. Win No Matter What. And since then, his work has been featured in the Washington Square News, U.S. News and World Report, the Huffington Post, and several podcasts. And he's working now on another book, The Corridor of Uncertainty, a heartwarming narrative about the Afghanistan cricket team. Now, I could relate to cricket. It's a particular type of sport that we play here in the Caribbean. Certain countries are doing it, other countries don't, but there is a passion for it in that area. And he hopes to release that book in 2015, this year. So we're going to find out a bit more about that. And he's, multi-talented. He plays the sitar. He does videography. I mean, this guy is young and he's moving on. Welcome, Nihar, to Between the Lines, Empowering Network.
Hi, Corinne. How are you?
I am good. The first question I have for you, a bold question. How old are you? Tell us.
I am actually 19 years old as of now.
My God, what is a 19-year-old doing with all these positive vibes, seeing the world in an adult eye? I mean, 19 is legally an adult age, yes, but you're sounding like you're supposed to be 40, 50. You're an old guy in a young body. What's happening?
I don't know about that, but I guess I've just gotten lucky that I had some great adults kind of guide me, and I've been lucky to kind of pick up some wisdom from older people along the way.
Wow, that's good. That's good. But where are you originally from? Because you said you moved to New York City.
Yeah, so actually I'm originally from Pennsylvania. My parents were born in India and they moved over to Pennsylvania in the 1970s. So I am I was America here in Pennsylvania.
Wow. But you know, you have a slight Indian sort of accent, probably because you hang around your parents, I gather. So so you still have a bit of that hanging around you, you know, which is good. So hold on. You are saying that you were influenced by people with wisdom. Who are these people, or what type of people were you surrounded by that they passed on this type of knowledge and wisdom to you, that you see the world with different eyes as a 19-year-old? You're supposed to be partying. Isn't that what young people are supposed to do? That's what I see them do. They party, they drink. They, you know, you're a guy, so you're supposed to be looking at all the girls. You know, you're supposed to be defiant. These are the type of labels that we put on young people based on what we see. But you're not doing that. Is something wrong with you, Nihar?
As far as I know, there's nothing wrong with me, but I do believe that those are some of the labels that are associated with the younger crowd. And, you know, I like to think of a lot of my writing that I do as, again, like breaking social norms. I know one of your last episodes was on kind of labels, right, with Rob Korb, I believe his name was.
Yes.
Yeah, and I know that exactly, like a lot of labels are put on younger people like that, and not even younger people, but older people too. And so I like to think of my writing as kind of breaking the social norms, and the book I'm working on now is actually relates to kind of stereotypes and how, you know, a lot of people kind of judge a book by its cover and judge people before they even know the full person.
Exactly. And because of these labels and because they judge people before, you know, we tend to speak all these words which carry a lot of weight and energy with it, and the person actually becomes that. We really have to be careful of the words that we speak, that we utter, that even we think. It is very important. But you know, Nehar, you're doing something that I really have high respect for, and I really regard you as a 19-year-old. You know, it says to me, I mean, I'm a parent, you know, and I was at that age not too long ago, just about 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, but you know, it speaks to hope. It speaks to faith, you know, in our future, that not everybody is on a negative path. Not everybody is defiant. Not every young person is doomed to failure. That there are a couple of you that will change, as you said, break the social norms, and that has a sort of rippling effect, and I love that. But when you do these type of things, you know, because we're calling the show Striking a Positive Chord, you know, and we played on those words because I know you play a musical instrument as well, so it worked out really well. But what is your intention? What is your goal? What are you seeing for the future in the next 5 to 10 years for Nehar, or even the people who you are influencing with your words and your music?
So I believe my goal is, like you said, striking a positive chord. I believe that it's just to kind of influence positively as many people as I can. And so one thing that I often have is that there's a big information imbalance in the world. I mean, if you look at the news, the media, everything, I mean, the majority of what you see is pretty negative information. And so I believe that in general, I think if you break down the amount of information that you see on a daily basis, I think that 30% of it's kind of the negative media information that you see in the news. If you tune into your news station, you see like robberies, murders, a lot of crisis going on, like in Yemen right now. And then I believe the next 30% is probably Google information. So Google's a pretty big website, but a lot of people, when they go to work, you know, they have to learn rules, education, their important facts and like duties that they have to do on work. So I believe that's 30%. And I think the next 30% of the information that's kind of broken down is kind of entertainment information. So the information you take in for leisure. So movies, shows, random facts that you see along the day. And so that 30%, those three 30%, they add up to 90%. And so I think that the last 10%, that kind of the information that we take in, is all that's left for positive information. And so that's the good news, the positive information that you see on a daily basis. And so you can see that there's a pretty big gap between the positive information that you take in and the rest. And so my goal 5-10 years down the road is just however I can, you know, by writing books, by playing music, however, I just want to kind of have a positive impact and kind of just make that gap, kind of equalize that gap a little bit so people are receiving more positive information than they are on a daily basis right now. And it's not so much about how many people I affect, but the quality with which I affect these people that I think is very important.
Yes, I am on that journey with you, Nehar. I am on that journey with you. Even though we are miles and oceans apart, I am on that journey with you because you talk to people every day, you interact with them, and sometimes when you're talking to them, it's kind of hard to relate. You're on this positive journey, you're speaking positively, and they're like thinking doom and gloom. And I'm like, why? Why do you talk this way? And you look, because I don't watch the news necessarily. I mean, as sad as it is, people might look at me differently. But I just decide, I've made a decision, Nehar, as to what I want to consume. And I really don't have to consume the negative information from the media, because sometimes it's propaganda, it's all a whole lot of hype. And besides the crime and the negativity and the violence, we take that, we consume that, and we actually help to perpetuate that information even more by talking about it, getting angry about it, you know, taking it, because once you take in information, you can't dig it out of your head or your mind. It's already there. And so you go on and behave in a negative way about it. You quarrel about it. You spread the word about it. And so you help the media to actually spread the negativity. And I don't want to be a conduit to that type of information. I don't want to consume that and pass it on. So I really don't watch the TV a lot. I decide which shows I watch, even movies, you know, music, everything. How would you say that now? You decide what you filter and what you consume.
Yeah, I totally agree. And at the same time, I believe that, you know, it is very important to stay away from the negative information, but at the same mm-hmm. time, you do have to be kind of educated about what's going on in the world. So I think it's mm-hmm. great that you consciously filter out what you want to watch. A lot of people just avoid negative information altogether, and then as a result, they're not educated about what's going on in the world. So I think mm-hmm. it's kind of a fine line between kind of balancing, kind of filtering out what information you want to watch, and also making sure that at the same time you're aware of all the news that's going on in the world too. So it's a very yeah. fine line, and I think that you brought up a very good point that you always have to be filtering out what information and kind of being conscious of what you're consuming.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the key thing too is also how you react. Even if you stay informed and educated about what's happening in the world and what's happening around you, it's how you react, how you look at it. You don't take it and become, like I say, a conduit for it. You look at it, you assess it, you know it exists, and you decide to take a positive look. Some people might say, oh my God, I'm going to pray on this. I'm going to, you know, take a positive action on it, as opposed to saying, look at those people over there. They're killers, they're murderers, and become further judges and jurors to something that they really don't have enough information on. It's just the media spreading it. So we have to be careful how we consume, how we filter, and how we react. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And, you know, one of the big things I talk about in my book is positive thinking. And I think that's one thing you hear a lot, just how to think positively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. One strategy that I suggest to a lot of people when they're going through events in life or anything, say that a negative event happens in your life, then instead of trying to take a negative outlook on it, one strategy that I tell people is to try to think about three positive things that came about as a result of that event. So say
right.
that I know that you were just talking about snow as you were introducing to the show. Actually, I'm in New York, so we had snow yesterday too. So I'm one of those people that wish I could be in the Caribbean right now. But
yeah.
three positive things that might come about from snow is that, you know, I might get a chance to go skiing if it snows a lot. And then mm-hmm. I can think of two other things. But if you train yourself to think about three positive aspects of every event that you think might be negative, you'll get
right.
used to thinking positively, and that will change your reaction on everything that you see in life. And so, like you were
exactly.
saying, I think that it's very important about how you filter what you see and also how you react to what you see. I think those both are extremely important.
Fantastic. Now, you say you're 19, and like I was saying before, you know, 19-year-olds supposed to be having fun, whatever. Now, how are your friends reacting to the decisions that you have made and the approach that you have taken in your life? Do you have friends around you, you know, your age, that think that you're weird? What is wrong with you? You know, this whole positive vibes. Get off of that and come out with us and, you know, do whatever that we're doing. This is what normal 19-year-olds do. How are you dealing with that? Because, I mean, I have a 19-year-old son myself. He'll be 20 this year. And I have an 11 going to be 12. So, you know, the gap is a little distance. But, you know, you still have to relate to your children. So I could relate to you being a 19-year-old because I have a 19-year-old. So tell me, what are your friends thinking or saying or reacting to the approach that you have taken?
Yeah, so right now I'm in college, actually, in university, so I'm really used to being around people around my age. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I definitely have my fair share of fun, but at the same time, I think it's very important to balance. So my goal, it's just about kind of prioritizing what your goals are. So my goal is definitely that I want to continue spreading this positivity. And at the same time, you know, none of my friends actually think I'm weird or anything like that. I mean, they all actually definitely support everything that I'm doing, and they think it's great. And I think it's very important that you choose a group of friends that is like that.
Yeah.
Because if your friends think that what you're doing is weird, then that probably means that you're not around the same group of or around a good group of friends, right? Because you are ultimately influenced by the company that you keep. And so if you're hanging around people that are kind of labeling you as weird, then you'll kind of think the same thing. And so I think it's very important that you surround yourself with a good couple of friends that really support what you're doing and also are motivating you. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that's helped me along the way, that I have a great group of friends that they don't label me. They think that it's awesome what I'm doing, and that is very important.
Oh, I think you're doing an awesome job too, because you have one book out that you said you won an award for, and then you have this one coming out. The first one was Win No Matter What. I mean, the titles are just awesome. And then you have The Corridor of Uncertainty. I mean, that is significant there. That one is coming out in 2015. Could you give us some ideas to when that one will be released? And I think you did some crowdfunding for that, and you got the funding for it. Is that correct?
Yes, that's actually very correct. So as a college student, I mean, it's hard to kind of make income sometimes. So what I did for this book is that I actually crowdfunded the entire thing. So The Corridor of Uncertainty, the book that I'm working on now, is kind of a narrative about the Afghanistan cricket team. And I had to travel with them to do some research and interview them. And so I had to crowdfund a lot of the book for the publishing cost and also the traveling cost so that I could research the team and interview all the players there. And so I started the crowdfunding project. It was in May of 2014, and I started writing the book last summer. And so it's almost towards completion now, which is very exciting. And it should be finished summer and should be out later this year.
Wonderful. I mean, for persons who are listening, I mean, 19 years and you're crowdfunding something that you believe in. Which crowdfunding platform did you use and how did you go about setting that up? It would be interesting to share a few tips on that.
Yeah, definitely. I used a crowdfunding platform called Hatchfund. So it was H-A-T-C-H-F-U-N-D. That's how you spell it. And it was a platform that's used especially for artists that are writing books, creating movies, creating music, anything like that. So I think it was very important for me to kind of choose a platform that was specific to what I was doing, because a lot of the people that are wanting to support books and movies and music, they go to platforms that are really specific to that industry. So Hatchfund was very specific to people writing books, and so I think it fit very well with my cause. And at the same time, so I was able to post my project on Hatchfund, and then I reached out to all my friends, family, kind of told them that my project was up there. And from there, it was kind of just like the word spread, because if people like your project, then, I mean, they'll tell everybody about it. So I think it's very important to kind of, if any of your listeners out there have a project that they want to take on, I think crowdfunding is a great way to make that happen. So I didn't have the money to make this project come alive, but crowdfunding, it was the people that believe in the same cause that donated $5, $10 to the project, but there are so many people that believe in the cause that I was able to raise all this money and make this project a reality.
Fantastic. And I see a movie in the making.
Yes, so that is very dependent on how the book sells, but the ultimate goal, it might sound a little crazy, but the ultimate goal is to get a film made on this Afghanistan cricket team story.
Wow. And it sounds crazy, but crazy is the way we are going, Nihar. Crazy, crazy is the way we are going. We are on the path of crazy here. Crazy ideas, crazy dreams, crazy goals. Because if you don't have those and you don't stretch yourself, you don't know what your limits are, if we have limits at all. Yeah?
I agree. No dream is too crazy. I totally agree with you.
Exactly. You never know. And then you top the crazy with another crazy or crazier. There's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
No, you would be thinking, hey, this was crazy and I did crazy. Okay, the next step is I need to do crazier. So, hey, step it up. But I'm loving it,
yeah,
and I'm going to be tracking you and following you to see this movie because I could relate to cricket. You know, I'm in Jamaica, so cricket is a big sport here. And in the Caribbean, we play cricket,
yeah.
And we play the Afghanistan team and India and Pakistan, Australia. So I know about cricket, and it's a passionate sport, let me tell you, passionate sport.
Yeah. Especially with the World Cup that just happened last month, so it's very passionate,
yes,
right now, too.
Yes, very passionate sport. While probably the rest of the world might focus on football and basketball and stuff, and I mean, we love football too, but cricket, oh my goodness, it's a passion.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you're doing a number of things. And let's mention your sitar. Now, let me tell you, I'm familiar with the sitar as well. I come from an Indian background. I'm mixed, so I'm part Indian, part black. So I grew up in a community, not necessarily in Jamaica, but I'm originally from Trinidad, which encouraged me. It's part of my culture to grow up with that. So you are playing the sitar, beautiful instrument. Did you get that from your parents, or you decided to just pick up that instrument and learn it and play it?
Yeah, so while I do play the sitar, I would say the instrument that I relate more to, that I play more, is tabla. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's also an Indian instrument as well, and so that's one that I play a lot more and that I'm much better at, I think. but how I learned that is I actually went back to India I usually try to go back to India once a year just to kind of stay in touch with my culture. But the way I learned tabla was actually that I went back to India for 3 weeks just to learn the basics. And I played 6 hours a day for 3 weeks straight from an instructor that I had there. I learned the basics. And once I got back to the United States, actually, now I continue lessons through Skype with that instructor once a week. And so I think it's very interesting. It's always interesting to me that we're kind of using a modern technology such as Skype to learn an old instrument like tabla. I mean, tabla's been around for hundreds of years, and we're using a modern technology like Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always very interesting that I'm in the United States and I'm Skyping with an instructor in India. But I found, yeah, it's interesting that technology can be used for something like that. But I've had a lot of fun learning it, and I've learned from an instructor, and I play a lot, and it's just great that knowing that I'm able to play an instrument that's hundreds of years old, and it kind of helps me keep in touch with my culture back home.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, there are some young people who really not interested with passing on or adopting or learning, you know, where they come from. They're like, no, I'm a born American and I don't need to know that, you know, but it's important. These things are traditions, and sometimes we don't know. We have these things in our DNA, in our genes, and we don't know why we behave a particular way or do things or think a particular way sometimes, because it's passed on, and it's good to have an understanding and appreciation of this, you know, from your parents. And your parents are still alive, aren't they?
Yep, they are both still alive.
And thankfully so, because they can teach you a lot of things, you know, from where they're from originally, and they can help you so that when you have your own family, you can continue those traditions onward. We are losing a lot of that, Nihar, and you know, it's so sad, you know, that children are just moving away from carrying on these type of morals and values and traditions. It's very important. And I hope any young person listening or even an older person listening would try to regain that, because when you lose it, you know, and you move away from it, you really can't get it back anymore. It's kind of hard, you know? So I applaud you for that.
I agree. And I think it is very important. I think it's extremely important for the younger generation to make sure that they are carrying on these traditions, and also for the older generation to make sure that they're passing it on to the younger generation. So I'm very thankful to my parents. When I was younger, they taught me a lot of culture, and they also taught me how to speak Gujarati, which is a dialect of language spoken in India. And so I've been lucky that they took so much time out of their schedule to kind of teach me about the cultures and traditions of India. And I think it's very important that all younger generation people and older generation people are really working towards kind of passing this culture on.
Yeah, and closing that gap, you know, they think, oh, you're old, I'm young, there's no way I can relate to you. There are common things that you can relate because you are relating with your parents, besides being a parent-child, but through music, through a common culture, through the language that they speak back home in India. So there is something in common, but a lot of young people these days think, I have nothing in common with you, you just brought me into the world and that's it. You know, they need to find common ground. And there is common ground if you just open your mind to it and you're open to communication and building the relationship and carrying that on. Because one day you will have your own children and one day you will want to have that kind of communication with yours. So it's like a cycle, you know, life is a cycle. But this is fantastic, Nihar. It's great talking to a young person who is on a journey, a positive one, and determined to spread the word, you know, through you know, your music, through your books, you know, and you just sound so determined, you know. I love that about you, you know, your whole crowdfunding, the approach you took, you know, learning the doubler, you know, and continuing it through Skype using the technology. You're not letting anything stop you. You're not saying, well, if I can't go to India, I can't learn it. I have to, you know, just stop. You know, you're still going on. You're still pushing through no matter what. And that I commend you for. And I hope any young person listening will be able to learn from you as another young person. And even an older person can learn from a young person. Come on. Now, because they're older mean to say that they're smarter or have more wisdom. The young people these days seem to be the ones with the wisdom. We need to be open to learning from them. Yeah?
Yeah, I totally agree, and thank you so much for your support and everything. I really appreciate it.
It's great having you on the show. I know that, you know, your website, let's mention your website so that persons can get to know more about you. Tell me,
yes,
it's neharsutar.com. Spell it out for the listeners.
Yeah, exactly. It's www.neharsutar, my first and last name.com. So it's spelled neharsutar.com, and there you can find a lot of my music, videos, and also some of the books and like the writing that I've been working on.
Beautiful. And I'm actually looking at the site now. It's quite how shall I say, bold. It's in black and white. I love it. You know, it's very professionally done, and you're there smiling. You're not upset. You're not seeming angry.
Well, yeah, of course.
You're a pretty happy young guy, and I mean, you have the site really clear and nice with all your social links, so people should follow you. Your Facebook, your Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, you know, and you have your writing there, videography. So I encourage persons to support your book, you know, support your music. Support your movie in the making. I mean, I'm putting in a plug here. Just keep me in mind for any small role that you may have.
I definitely will keep you in mind. I promise I will keep you in mind.
Thank you so much. Even if it's just a butterball and say that I was in the movie, you know, that's me. Thank you so much, Nihar. I mean, and thank your parents for me for bringing you into the world, for raising such a fantastic son. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have one older brother and one older sister, so I'm the youngest of three.
You're the baby. Isn't that great? Do they always call you the baby? I'm so sorry. I'm a mother.
It's totally fine.
I'm a mother, okay? Forgive me. It's just how it is. But I know young people don't like to be called babies, but that's such a, you know, endearing term. It's such an endearing term. Don't take it in any negative way, because when we get older, we want people to call us babies. Can you imagine that?
Thank you so much, Nihar. Everything's a cycle. Like you said, everything is a cycle.
Everything is a cycle. Thank you so much, Nihar. It's great having you on the
show. Thank you for having me.
We encourage persons to follow Blog Talk Radio, Empowering Network, Between the Lines Empowering Network, and keep abreast of what's happening by following the show. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Corinne.